You are listening to Fees Always Wins, a financial podcast.
What's a rip?
A rip, commission. That's why we work here.
Huge rips.
No, I still don't know how it works.
You and me, the broker, we're taking in cold hard cash via commission.
Right.
No matter whether our clients make money or lose money, Duke and Duke get the commissions.
The only thing we don't know is your fee.
My fee is free market. And you're part of it.
Welcome back and thank you for joining us. Week six, but week three of the government shutdown. The market is up for the three-day year so far, but we are in a bear market officially. I'm Chris, joined by the scion of the Delta, Ello. This is Fees Always Win Investment Club. Two investors on a journey to learn more on strategy indicators and knowledge that it takes to become great investors. You could find us on Facebook, iTunes, and probably every other place you get your podcasts. Leave a five-star review on iTunes or don't bother leaving one. If you would like to support the show, you could sign up for a Robinhood account by following one of the two links in the show notes. Join Robinhood and you and one of the hosts will get a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint for free. One thing I do want to go and say, because we touched on this two episodes ago, that Robinhood had a checking account. If you've been on the app, that checking account offer is no longer available. That guaranteed 3% from Robinhood checking was not to be. Regulators indicated there was no security offering from the SPIC, and competitors publicly called out the program as an unsustainable money market account. SIPC CEO Stephen Harbick told Bloomberg his members-funded nonprofit only protects money used for the purchase of securities. It does not insure checking and savings. I imagine this plan was developed when the market was on fire and Robinhood had to either move forward with the money-losing venture and or admit their flaw, which they did. We didn't get really a public statement on it, really just a coming soon under the checking account option. So just wanted to update it just in full exposure and awareness since we did talk about it. It is not coming out, at least not at 3%, which I could really use 3% right now. But how goes it, Ello?
Exactly. Chris, it goes well. We are going into the new year starting to see things move in a better direction than they were a couple of months ago with these picks. All is well, man. The Giants are out of the playoffs, but hopefully we can get a good draft pick. Carmelo has not been signed yet, but at the end of the day, Chris, we are still thriving, sir. How are you?
I still contend he's still signed with the Rockets. He's just not playing, but he's winning in life because Lala is back. So
yes, he is.
I think he's won the championship he was looking for.
Yeah, let's just hope he doesn't mess it up again by going out and trying to sign free agents that he shouldn't be trying to sign.
As long as he's not trying to risk it all.
Yeah, he risked it all right. Even had a little bonus that came with it. But yes, indeed, sir. All is well, man. Get ready to go into a new weekend. Get ready to go into a new work week. But at the end of the day, Chris, considering where we are now versus where we started, man, it's a glorious night.
That it is. Well, I've always been a fan of heist films, and I watched this MoviePass produced film, American Animals. And part of the film was a new directorial style to where it's a film, but it actually has interviews interspersed like a documentary of the conspirators and victims of the crime. And this is a crazy story. If you get a chance to watch it, rent it when it comes down to like $2.99. It's a good watch. But there's another one I watched today about con man Barry Minko of ZZZ Best, a carpet cleaning company that went public, but he was a fraud and it collapsed. He went to prison, went everything, and it's built in the same manner as this other film that it has interviews interspersed, and not only interviews, Barry Minko insisted on playing himself, his older self in the movie.
Ugh.
No wonder this movie went straight to Vudu. It's not on iTunes. It's not on. It's not on Prime Video. It's not on Hulu. When it comes across, do not rent this movie. I'm happy I only paid 99 cents. I thought I would even get some quotables to add to the show. Didn't even get that. Just bad acted, but crazy story. This dude went public at like 21 years old, was a 100 millionaire by 22, and was in prison by like 24 or 25.
Man, that's definitely living in the fast lane, but no acting classes in between, apparently, right?
Not for his part. The whole movie was a mess. Even the part he wasn't in it, you were like, man, this director didn't want you to sympathize with this character at all. And it just makes all the people look around them as not complicit, but as advisors against the action. So I was like, that's impossible. He could have gotten away with this if there wasn't complicity among his business partners.
Oh, wow. Wait, what's the name of it?
It's called Con Man. But if you look it up on Wikipedia, ZZZ Best was the company. It was a carpet cleaning restoration company that went public in the 80s.
I actually saw that movie. It's funny. I think it was on Amazon Prime. I saw these that you can rent it by. I saw Con Man, and I saw... Was it, you say American Animals or something?
American Animals.
I saw that, but I didn't know what it was. So I just kept flipping past movies. But you said it's pretty good.
American Animals is great.
Okay. I'm putting that to the list.
Because you have the conspirators, and the director will ask them in this part of the movie, is this how it happened? They'll be like, no, it didn't happen like that at all.
The real people or still the actors?
The real people.
Oh, wow.
Because they'll get the story from different people, and they'll be like, no, there's no way it happened like that.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. As always, man, you're always putting me up on good content. I was planning to go see if Beale Street could talk today, but apparently it's not showing. It's not a wide release, so it's like it's one of the things where you got to go to certain theaters to find it. But I'll let you know what I think about that, because Regina King typically puts out good content.
Yeah, I need to go ahead and watch that too before Oscar season. That's what I did over the break. We watched a lot of movies, catching up on everything we missed all year. And now I finally feel like I could discuss this stuff.
Anything else catch your eye other than American Animals?
The Land was pretty good. And that's like a coming of age story in Cleveland, involves skateboarders, drugs. Think of it as a darker version of Dope.
Is that the movie that... I can't think of the guy's name. The guy from Superbad. Is that the one that he, Jonah Hill?
No, you're thinking of the 90s. I have not seen that yet.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so, but there's The Land. Upgrade was solid.
Upgrade is amazing. Yeah.
I ended up buying Upgrade. I'm happy I bought it because I had the choice to rent or buy, and I just went ahead and bought it. That's a deep movie. Yeah. What's the other one that I saw this week? We did see Venom and caught up with that. So I've just been trying to catch up on all movies that I can right now. Oh, and we saw White Boy Risk. And Venom, actually enjoyed it. It was enjoyable. I'm happy I didn't buy it, but it was enjoyable. I don't care what people say. And yes, if you look up my history on Twitter, I was talking about the movie like I saw it. I did not see it. So, yeah, call me out on it. I get it. I deserve it. That's what I get.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to see. Searching. We also bought Searching. And that was
it good?
Yeah, that was real good. And it's the first thriller to feature Asian art to feature an Asian as the star of the film.
Oh, wow.
And then I saw Rampage with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
How is that? I haven't seen that one.
The graphics look pretty good, unless it's the scenes that have The Rock in it, Because you could tell everything was already built, and they were like, we just need an actor to run around, jump, and yell.
Right.
But it's all on green screen. So, yeah, I watched
it. Crazy. I watched a couple of movies. That did pretty well at the box office, but the other one, Skyscraper or whatever, that one didn't do so great. So, yeah, interesting.
I think they both did pretty decent in China, though.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, like China, they're making these films pretty much for China, and I think this movie was, The Rampage was sponsored by Tencent, which is China's version of Spotify. So
that's a smart business move.
So it had support of it. So The Rock's going where the money is. He's like, I don't got to be in just good films. I'm here for films that are good at the bank. Yeah,
but
so
that's like The Meg back in the day. The Meg was basically made for China.
Hey, and The Meg was good. I'm never going to see The Meg again unless it's at a theater, but it was good. No, Rampage did not do good. My bad. Our Skyscraper did not do great there. The budget was $125. It made $304, so it still made its money back. But that's not as much as they usually expect there.
Yeah. That's crazy that they consider Skyscraper to be a flop and it made $305. Like, that's a hit.
Yeah, it didn't make that much more than, because it says Rampage budget was $120 to $140. I'm not sure how you have a range, but its box office was $428. So it only made a little more than like $75 million more. That's weird for them to say one's a success and the other isn't.
Right, when they both made money. I mean, The Rock is just bankable, though. Put him in just about anything.
No, you're right. He's the anti-Johnny Depp at this point.
Right.
You put him in it, God. The movie's going to make money.
All right, I'll say this, and then I'll get off of movies. There's a movie with Nicolas Cage called Mandy. If you ever get a chance to see
it. Is it good?
So what?
Is it good?
Yes, it's truly insane. Like, you know how some movies have knife fights? They have a chainsaw fight, man.
See, I've been scared to watch Nicolas Cage movies because I know he's been paying this tax bill, but there has to be some gems in there. So thank you for letting me know. I'm going to watch that for sure.
Nick Cage was in the Teen Titan Go movie, which is pretty good. He was in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is really good. And Mandy is really good. So he put out at least three good movies in the past year. Mandy is like, listen, don't go into Mandy thinking it's going to be excellent dialogue and, you know, twist ending and all this and all that. No. Mandy is a supernatural John Wick who's grown older, more of a curmudgeon, and has a chainsaw. That's Mandy.
Okay, I'm in. Sign me up.
And it's Nick Cage being weird, but it's so entertaining. It's extremely entertaining. And red is the color, just know. The color of the day, the word of the day for Mandy is red, which is the character's name also. Hint, hint.
It's amazing the dichotomy of his career and Cuba Gooding Jr. Both Oscar-nominated and winning actors. One has completely fallen off and not had another hit since. And Nicolas Cage, meanwhile, every 5 years, he puts his head above water. He's like, okay, I'm going to try in this film. And you're like, that's solid. You're like, I get a Matchsticks Man. I get a Lord of War. I get some other films. And then there's everything else that's on Netflix now when he was just paying off his tax bill.
Yeah, it's one movie just called Joe. Just Joe. His name is Joe. Just know. It's Joe. That's all you have to worry about. But that John Cusack is the same way. He used to put out good movies. And then, for whatever reason, man, he just started putting out terrible movies lately.
Yeah, the John Cusack one is, his were always kind of like art films that didn't get a lot of marketing but ended up being good. To where I feel like he looks at a script and he's like, I think I could play this character and make it deep. And all the other actors are going to come around. And sometimes he signs on first, and actors that aren't up, because he's not a LeBron that could bring up the talent of the rest of his team. He's more like a Butler. He's really good, but he doesn't make everyone else better.
Right.
So he needs talent around him.
Yeah, he can't carry the team by himself. He needs support and characters with him.
But so let's talk about some of these stocks. It was an interesting half week of the market since it opened for the holidays. But overall, more positive than the week before, and that's all you could look at. One thing that stands out to me on these stock picks and tracking it every week gives you more confidence. As they say, sometimes the best investor is the investor that forgets. That if you're not looking at it every week, if you're not pulling your money out immediately when you're getting skittish, because you pull your money out now, sure, it might go lower, but eventually it's going to come back. But you're not getting the money back that you put into it if it comes out now. It's just trying to be profitable and find better things to do with your money, which you have an article that we're going to talk about later on that.
Right. I'll kick it off with stocks because it's been a hell of a ride lately. I'll kick it off with my first one. My most challenging one to date, Ollie's Bargain Outlet, OLLI. When we initially started, I was at 88.7. It's currently at 69.25. I'm down negative 21.93%. The thing with Ollie's, though, is overall, compared to where we were before, it's starting to make a little bit of a gain versus the steep drop that it took. Like you said before, when investing, the fact that we're going week to week, sometimes it can make you freak out or want to pull out in the stock or maybe overreact. I said before, I have a number that I'm going to stick with. I didn't plan to see this drop take the hit that it's been taking. However, we're in January. We're going into the new year. So I want to see where things go. I want to give it another couple of months to see what attraction is moving, where things are starting to progress toward. So long-term strategy, I think I'm going to be okay. Short-term, it's just going to freak me out seeing a negative 21%. But compared to where it was, it's starting to gain a little bit of traction. But you said it, Chris. You can't look at it week to week sometimes because what that does, that may make you get out of a stock that potentially can have growth in the future. What about you? How are you looking?
So my first pick was Salesforce, CRM. Actually pretty good for a week. It's up from its negative 5.7 valuation percent to 3.4. So that's a positive change. I'm still confident with this company. But like they said, it's not for the meek or the unwilled, because 2 years ago, if I didn't know much about stocks, I might have just pulled my money out and held it, which would have made no money just staying in my savings account. But this, I think there's still a chance. One of the things that I think helped it bounce is overall the job report helped this week that showed that there were more than double the amount of jobs they were anticipating. And the Salesforce CEO, who's – I track this because I have a website that sends me notices if any of the stocks I'm investing in, the CEO keeps pulling out money or any inside investors – and this one, since they're making so much money, they're pulling it out and just liquidating as they can. But Mark Benioff, Salesforce founder, chairman, and CEO, said he's targeting $20 billion in sales by 2022 in an interview. They had $10 billion in sales in 2018, so they're estimating three times the amount of growth. So that's one way. Keeping this price high and not splitting it will keep consistently – our consistency, but he's telling you we're not going to pay a dividend, but we're going to look for three times growth for you over these next couple of years. That type of thing, the market's always going to respond to the confidence of a CEO with the record to show for it.
And see, that's the thing about it, being able to do research and having a better idea where it's going to go moving forward versus where it is now. And that goes to what we talked about before, being patient, because in the past, when we first started, I don't know if patience was on our on our agenda, because it was all about now and what we're seeing currently, not what we can potentially see in the future. But man, that's a great number. On a, did you say 2020 or 2022?
2022.
Okay. Still, man, that's a great outlook moving forward. So my stock, and it's actually a dependable stock for me. However, numbers wise, initially there was a bit of a dip, and that's with Comcast, CMCSA. Initially started at 38.89, currently at 35.81. It's negative 7.92%. At the end of the day, it's a stock that is going to be, I feel like it's going to be flat for the year. I don't see it spiking or dropping or spiking or rising or going in either direction, taking any substantial drops. I feel like moving forward is going to be a steady stock for me. And I keep bringing up the year 2020, 2021, when I feel like the technological advancements are really going to start to kick in and we're going to really start to see the stock perform in a better direction. Because unlike other stocks, Comcast is actually starting to move with the times and add in a lot of the technological advances other people are using and giving you access to things like Netflix and similar things like Android devices that you can use with Comcast. And Chris, you being the person who actually has Comcast, you've seen that up close and personal. So yes, it's dropped slightly, but overall, I have faith in Comcast being one of my dependable stocks. Biggest thing is the merger with Sky and technological advances is what gives me hope. And the fact that out of all my stocks, Comcast has been the one that's been the steadiest up to this point, which lets me know that the potential for growth is there. So overall, I'm not worried. I'm very optimistic about the future. And then you have Payload Capital, which took position with Comcast, and that can potentially only add more revenue. So I feel like I'm in a good spot.
And my next one is Nike. For Nike, now I'm suddenly only down by 0.36%. It closed at 74.65. It's still up 17% for the trailing 12. And they're positioned pretty well. Their biggest competitor, Adidas, is only growing at a 4% rate. Under Armour did grow at above a 20% rate. But with the China market slowing down, there are a lot of China brands, but Nike's still positioned, and we talked about it last episode, that their move to digital distribution for their products can only help it. That you don't need to have people waiting outside for Jordans when they're willing to pay a 20% markup to buy those same Jordans that are priced at $285 from their computer for $320. So, Nike, this is one I'm probably going to stick with. It's just going to stay in my portfolio going forward.
Yeah, we talked before about Nike, and based on the moves that they've made and continue to make, and regarding the shoes you talked about before, the technologically advanced shoes, Nike should be a stock that's really going to see you through the next couple of years. My next stock is O'Reilly Auto, O-R-L-Y. Initially, it was 346.78. It's currently 341.82. It's down negative 1.43%. I read an article recently where O'Reilly Holdings was cut by Putnam Investments. So during the third quarter, Putnam Investments lessens its holdings and shares of O'Reilly by 33.7% during the third quarter. they owned 423,863 shares of the stock, and then they sold 215,680 shares during the quarter. So I'm curious to see why they reduced such figures like they did going into this quarter. And then O'Reilly stock traded down $4.31 during midday on trading Friday. So I'm curious to see where O'Reilly's going to go. I'm not particularly worried because, like I said before, O'Reilly is one of those companies where they basically set their own price. And in today's economy, in today's world, a company that deals in car parts where a majority of folks that have to have cars, it shouldn't be too much of a bother. But it is something that I'm going to monitor, because whenever you see companies starting to pull out in such large figures, that's something you want to track just to see where things are going to go over the next couple of months.
That one's going to be really interesting on O'Reilly. As the market continues to downturn, you have a government shutdown, people are having to budget better. Cars don't care about your budget, and that creates an opportunity for companies like O'Reilly's or National Auto Parts, or is that Federated National, as well as AutoZone. My next one is Dollar Tree. This is becoming my portfolio star right now. Dollar Tree is up 7% for the year, finishing at $92.89 last week, or 7% for this six-week period. So let me correct that part for the audience. I really have nothing to add than last time. I'm sure a lot of these results were from Christmas. That's going to be their biggest season by far. It's interesting. Business Insider did a comparison of the affordable brands and kind of how they classify them. So Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Dollar or Five Below, and then as well as Family Dollar. And most of it came out to is the selection just differs so much from them. As Dollar Tree is becoming those everyday items, I still have the worry they're going to be priced out of the game at some point. Five Below has the most opportunity as they're growing market share, but they don't sell medical equipment, so you can't get Band-Aids, you can't get medicine like you can at Dollar General. You also can't get food, which is offered at Dollar General. But you go to Family Dollar or Dollar General, and the aisles are just destroyed. That you're not going there for the shopping experience because you're paying a price that that indicates you're not going to get much service from there. So it's going to be interesting, this whole market between those four stores going forward. We do know Dollar Tree owns Family Dollar, so it's really only those three stores. And I imagine we're going to see Five Below expand their offerings and what they provide. As all the other stores kind of focus on school supplies, they all do, but only two focus on food and medical stuff.
Okay. My next stock was the only tech stock I actually looked into, and that's Intel, INTC. When we initially started, it was at 49.26. It's currently at 47.22. Which is down negative 4.14%. But there's actually good news with Intel. I've actually been tracking this stock more closely than the others, only because I felt like positivity and financial gains were coming. I'm not saying it will, but based on the article I read, thanks to Bank of America, Merrill Lynch buyback area, and I could be mispronouncing that, it basically upgraded Intel to buy and raised its price target from $8 to $60. So biggest thing with Intel in 2018, with all the things that happened with China and trade wars and affecting the price, it actually got to the point where it targeted to be cheap. The stock, in fact, became too cheap at just 10 times of the projected earnings for 2019. So with the upgrade from Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, the new price target, it implies about 30% upside from the current stock price. So the gold right now, Intel is up 3.9% to 46.23 in recent trading. And the hope is that in 2019, you're going to see it continue to go up. So it ended the year down nearly 20% from its high, from its 2018 highs. So what Bank of America is banking on, pun intended, is that moving into 2019 with a cheaper stock by actually upping the price, they can see a bit of a gain from the company. So I'm going to follow this, not necessarily in the upcoming weeks, but within the next month or so to see where Intel is, because I feel like we're going to start to see that price point actually increase, and those figures are going to start moving in the right direction.
Yeah, my final one is PayPal, stock symbol PYPL. They are up 0.54% for the 6-week period. A lot of this, I think, is on their deals. We talked about last week with the deals that Visa was making to broaden their offerings, as well as other servicing companies, our transaction-based companies. This week, the news broke that Chevron and PayPal team up to make getting gas exciting. By exciting, they mean another option to pay for it. So Chevron is in partnership with PayPal. The oil giant is integrating PayPal into its app for consumers to pay at the pump from their phone, and will soon add Venmo integration for road trippers looking to split a tank. I think this could be advantageous, one, those road trippers, but I'm thinking of the use of parents, that you might not necessarily want to give your child a credit card, though they might have a debit account that you're putting money in weekly. This way could be a lot easier if they just have to transfer it. Hey, you don't have to have a credit card, but if they take PayPal, just put it on your phone, use it from your Apple wallet, and you'll be able to pay for gas, and I'll be able to see that. So the more options that are available, that's always going to be the key. How they truly implement this or advertise it, it'll be interesting. I have a mobile around the corner, so in the coming months, I'm probably going to use it more just to see how this is, or if they're even marketing this aspect into what segment are they marketing it to for growth opportunities. Because that would be all of the Chevron, I think, they're Texaco, that it's Chevron and Texaco. Is that correct? Or is that Phillips 66? I should probably know this.
I think it's Texaco and Chevron.
Oh, Phillips. My fault. So it's Phillips 66 and Chevron. So mainly Chevron, because they don't have that many 66 enough or left. But overall, for the market, from when we started this series of picks, the Fees Always Win index is down 3% versus the S&P 500 index, which is down 8%. So even with significant changes in Ollie's bargain, because the stocks are diversified, it only affects the Fees Always Win portfolio a negative 3%. So that's something to consider why you want to invest in multiple stocks to really limit what your exposure is as an investor.
Yeah, and Chris, looking at the numbers, the S&P is down 8.27%, but you actually are starting to make a profit. Like, you're out of the negatives now, man. Good job. Good job to you, sir.
And before I pat myself on the back, I would like to say at 0.37%, and we'll go over this in one of your articles that you sent me earlier, I still think there's a better opportunity of, if you don't have the stomach to risk the 8% swings, invest that in a CD that guarantees you 1% or 2% over the next year. You'll make more money, and by the time you come back, you'll miss some opportunity, but not much.
Right. You won't have to deal with the ups and downs, because you're basically letting your money work for you. If, like you said, if you don't have the stomach for it, if this is something that causes great anxiety, or you just feel like you're basically putting it all on red at the gambling table, which it isn't, but if that's how you feel, then like Chris said, there are options out there where you can make your money work for you without the risk.
And there's always risk, but there's also downright fraud, which you come across. And we talked about it earlier in the film Con Man about the ZZZ Best story and Barry Minko. But I think you sent me an article earlier today that outlines kind of five red flags to help you identify fraud in investing and ways to make a better educated decision.
Yeah, the article I sent you was from Forbes, and it was just talking about how there are a bunch of hot investment themes. So a lot of people, they want to get into cannabis or cryptocurrencies or AI, autonomous driving cars, things of that nature, and they think that that's the way of the future, and that's how they can really make money. In fact, it's funny that you bring up ZZZ Best, because that's one of the things that was in the article. Main thing is, it's just breaking down options and things to look out for when you're investing. And just going to go over a couple of those. So biggest thing is, whenever you're investing, you want to make sure that the outside media exposure, that's something you want to look into. So in the article, there's a man by the name of Berman, which we talked about before. He said that one thing that drew him into Nikau's relentless price presence in the media, he was everywhere. And all the coverage was glowing until it wasn't, of course. It wasn't, of course, but that was too late for me. Basically saying that with the media exposure, sometimes you can get caught into a stock or an investment price point, and you can feel that it's going to be one thing that it isn't, and by the time you figure it out, it's too late. Go ahead.
And I think with that media exposure, you've had companies that fund under the – you have companies that raise money under Regulation A+, which we'll go into a little more detail. But a lot of times these companies utilize those public personas as way of making money. And there's examples of like Goldberg sponsoring a stock and telling everybody to invest in it, only for that stock to go down dramatically as a result. And so it's not really a good sign to depend on that. Another example would be, we talked about in earlier episodes with DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather trying to get people to invest in ICOs, which are coin offerings for companies. If they don't have anything else but that, it's probably a bad sign. The opinions expressed on the show do not reflect the thoughts of our respective employers, family, or podcast network. We are not licensed by the FTC or SEC. Before acting on information on the website or from the show, you should consider whether it's suitable for your particular circumstance and seek advice from your own financial or investment advisor.